Do 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 do. Good evening. Welcome to another Bedtime Stories with Tom's. We're reading Swiss Family Robinson by Johann Viss. It is Chapter 7, Grizzle's Strange Companion. Watching the enraged female buffalo gallop toward Turk and Flora, I realized they would be torn to pieces in minutes. Quickly, I raised my double-barreled gun and fired. The buffalo fell dead only a few feet away from the terrified dogs. "Good shooting, father!" cried Ernest as the boys rushed forward to observe the slain animal. "Now are you going to kill the little buffalo, too?" "No," I said. "With Grizzle lost and probably gone for good, I will need this fellow to take his place. Come help me tie his legs." This done, I next took a pocket knife and cut a small hole in the buffalo's nostrils into which I inserted a ring. Naturally, the creature was furious. However, the pain in his nose and the rope around his legs prevented him from running away. The first time I pulled the cord, I saw that my prisoner was docile and ready for the long march home. Our entry into camp was a triumphant one indeed. Elizabeth and Francis could hardly believe their eyes as we strutted in proudly with the shaggy buffalo. On Fritz's shoulders sat two beautiful birds he had captured on the homeward trail. One was a green parrot and the other a Malabar eagle, which he had blindfolded to prevent it from attacking anyone. "What a trip you've had!" exclaimed Elizabeth. "But surely acquiring this buffalo is your greatest accomplishment." "Papa, Papa," cried Francis, running alongside the buffalo, "what are you going to do with him?" "Right now I'm going to tie him up with the cow and see how they get along." "Maybe we should feed him first," Jack suggested as he handed the newcomer some milk and sliced roots. Greedily, the buffalo devoured it all and began to browse peacefully next to the cow. "Fritz, where are you going to put your birds?" Ernest asked. "Over here," Fritz answered, and he fastened both the parrot and the eagle to the same tree root, but foolishly removed the blindfold from the eagle's eyes. The eagle flew into a rage and killed the poor parrot. "Bad bird," Fritz screamed. "I'm going to break that neck of yours." "Wait," Ernest cried. "You can always find another parrot, but never such a magnificent hunter as this eagle. Properly trained, it will be able to catch many birds for us. Let me have it, and it will soon be as submissive as a new puppy." With that, Ernest lit up a pipe and began to blow the tobacco smoke into the eagle's face. "This is an old trick used by the Carib Indians," he told us. "Once their eagles became senseless from the smoke, the Indians were able to tame them." "You've killed them! You've killed him!" yelled Fritz, as the bird stood motionless on his perch. "How could he be dead and still be standing?" Ernest retorted. "He'll come out of the trance in a minute." And Ernest was right. Soon the bird opened its eyes and looked at us in surprise. Its anger was gone, and in only a few days it was tame. Amazingly enough, we were able to repeat this same procedure not long afterwards. Elizabeth, feeling that the rope ladder was dangerous, urged me to build a set of winding stairs inside the hollow tree trunk. When I first chopped into the tree, hundreds of bees swarmed out, buzzing menacingly and stinging the children. "Why not try putting the bees in a stupor like we did with the eagle?" Fritz suggested. The scheme worked beautifully. Once the bees were asleep, we cut their combs loose and put them into some gourds, which we nailed to a nearby tree. The bees had two brand new hives. We had an abundant supply of delicious honey, and in a month's time, Elizabeth had her winding stairs. It was a time of great prosperity at Falcon's Nest. Elizabeth spent her days at a handmade loom, weaving cloth from the fibers of the flax plants we discovered. The boys and I were busy planting crops and constructing a fountain. We even built a stable to house our growing family of animals. The pig had given birth to a litter of 7 piglets, the hens had produced 40 chicks, the goats, 2 kids, and the sheep, 5 lambs. To top it all off, Flora was now the mother of 6 newborn puppies. Then one day, we had still another stroke of luck. We were just nailing the door of the captain's cabin onto the tree opening of the winding stairs when we heard a terrible howling in the distance. Collecting our guns, we all ran to see what was the cause of the disturbance. "Why, it's Grizzle," Fritz called. "He's coming home." The mule moved toward us leisurely, stopping every now and then to nibble some grass. "What is that with him?" asked Francis. "I think it's an onagra," I said. "What's an onagra?" "A wild donkey," I explained. "They travel in herds on the hot, dry plains of Western Asia. Look at those yellow patches on each thigh." "And that black stripe down his back," added Jack. "And look at that funny tail with the fuzzy tuft of hair on the end of it," exclaimed Ernest. The two animals were very close to us now. Fritz, holding a noose in his hand, moved softly forward and offered Grizzle some oats. As the wild donkey saw his companion gobble up this strange food, he edged closer. At that point, Fritz threw the noose over his head. The Onagra was ours. Everyone clapped their hands and danced for joy. "Now, boys," I said, "we must try to tame and train him just as we did the buffalo. It's not going to be easy, so I hope you're ready for a real challenge." End of chapter 7. Boy, that was a good one. They sure are doing well on this island, huh?
Coming up next, chapter 8, the grotto that time...
Grotto. The grotto that time forgot.
What's the grotto? What's a grotto?
Oh, a grotto is like a small pool surrounded by foliage or rocks. Anyways, that's all we have time for tonight. Good night.